Well, good morning, everyone. God bless you. Thank you, Jeanette. That was wonderful, as always. But it's good to recognize that it's wonderful again. And thank you, Ron. Thank you, Chris. Thank you for the refreshments. It's so great to have time to be together around God's Word, to enjoy fellowship like this. I'm just so thankful today for all that God has done for us, as I'm sure you are. Please turn to Romans chapter 10. Romans chapter 10. As you know, there's some interesting things going on in the Middle East, and what we know of, we call the Bible lands. And our Father in the Word often told us to be aware when stuff is going on there, because it's that's where Jesus Christ walked the grounds of the earth, and where God's people were there that He could share His truth with. And they, even though they often got off track, at least they listened and they paid attention to God. And so things going on there it's good to keep an eye on it. And it's good to keep, you know, Israel in our prayers, you know. And in chapter 10, verse 1 of Romans, it tells us how we should pray and what we should pray for when it comes to Israel. Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. God sent His Son there, and He lived in that area, and He walked perfectly, and He fulfilled the law, and yet they rejected Him. And, you know, and so our prayer should still be this. And prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. For I bear them record that they have a zeal of God, but not according to knowledge. They have a zeal of God according to Old Testament knowledge, but not according to the knowledge that God revealed by way of His Son, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, and by those apostles and prophets that came along in the first century. For they, being ignorant of God's righteousness and going about to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God. They've rejected God's solution for man's righteousness. For Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believeth. To everyone that believeth. And there it is. When you believe God's word, when you believe according to what God accomplished by way of Jesus Christ, for you, everything changes. Everything. Everything, everything, everything. Because you're no longer just body and soul. You're body, soul, and spirit, which was God's original design for mankind. For Moses describeth the righteousness. For Moses describeth the righteousness which is of the law, that the man which doeth those things shall live by them. And by the way, Jesus Christ did live by all of that. And He is our substitute. He lived by all of that, and as a righteous man that did not have the death sentence that all the rest of humanity had, for Him to lay down His life for us was an act of great love. And that act is, He became our substitute. He became our substitute. God substituted him for us. And because of that, we can identify with him in what God accomplished by him. And then when God raised him from the dead, that is the future of all those who choose to believe according to the greatness of God's word. What a tremendous thing it is. It says, but the righteousness which is of believing speaketh on this wise, say not in thine heart, who shall ascend into heaven, that is to bring Christ down from above, or who shall descend into the deep, that is to bring up Christ again from the dead. But what saith it? Here it is. The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart. That is the word of believing which we preach. And here it is. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, that Jesus is Lord, and believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. That right there, it becomes our identification with him. We are then made what we were talking about, the righteousness of God in him. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Go to Romans chapter 6, please. Romans chapter 6. I'm sure you all remember, or no, we want to go to 5. I'm sure you all remember that Romans 6 and 7 are parenthetical expression. They're parentheses. And so when you finish with Romans 5, it takes you right to Romans 8. So I want to look at some things in Romans 5, and then let's go to Romans 8. Romans 5, it says in verse 17, for if by one man's offense, okay, who was the one man that offended?
Adam.
Adam, the first man. The first man. He blew it. He didn't do what God told him to do. For if by one man's offense death reigned by one, much more they which receive abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness shall reign in life by one, Jesus Christ. That's our identification with him. He accomplished what we could not because we were not righteous. He was righteous, and he paid the price for fallen man. He paid the price for mankind. Therefore, as by the offense of one, Adam, judgment came upon all men to condemnation, even so by the righteousness of one, the free gift came upon all men unto justification of life. For if by one man's disobedience, Adam's disobedience, many were made sinners, so by the obedience of one, Jesus Christ, shall many be made righteous. He paid the price, and we identify with him. We do not identify with the fallen man, Adam. We identify with the resurrected man, Jesus Christ. What a terrific thing that is. Moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound, but where sin abounded, grace did much more abound, superabound. You know, boy, the offense might abound, but where sin abounded because of fallen man. Sin abounded because man lost his spiritual connection and couldn't have fellowship with God anymore. Because God is spirit and man was body and soul. And so sin abounded, but grace abounded beyond sin. You know, grace is so much bigger. God's love, God's mercy, God's grace is so much bigger and so much farther beyond the sin of man. Grace did super abound. That as sin hath reigned unto death, It's appointed unto man once to die. When, remember, God had said, thou shalt surely die. The part of man that died at that moment was spirit. Ultimately, then, the body and soul part of man died. Man was given a death sentence from that time on. And all every man is subject unto death. With one exception, when Christ comes back, those that are alive and remain shall be changed right on the spot and go up with the rest of them. That as sin hath reigned unto death, even so might grace reign through righteousness unto eternal life by Jesus Christ our Lord. Chapter 8, verse 1. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. There is no condemnation for those that are in Christ Jesus. If you start feeling condemned, it's your fault, not God's. God has by way of Jesus Christ paid for all that. You don't have to condemn yourself. Do not condemn yourself. Do not condemn yourself. There is no condemnation. Who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit, is not in the text. It's later on in chapter 4, or verse 4, but here it somehow, it got added at this point and shouldn't be. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus. The law of the Spirit of life. That's the law we live under. We don't live under the law of condemnation, the law of Moses, the law of sin. We live under the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus. Wow. The law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death. You know, we're no longer trapped by sin consciousness and condemnation for our sins. What we can do is go to God. When we're going to make mistakes, we're going to sin. Okay, but when we do, we go to God and we say, God, please forgive me. I blew it. There I go again. I shouldn't have done that. I did it again. Please forgive me. And you know what? God forgives just like that. Just like that. At the moment of the new birth, you're forgiven of everything that happened before that. But then from that time on, we are to confess our sin, and God forgives us of our sin, of our broken fellowship with Him. You know, I was thinking today, too, how wonderful it is to hear manifestations of Holy Spirit. Those words are words that God prepared for us for today. For today. To build us up, to encourage us, to edify us, you know, to exhort us. What a wonderful thing that God has provided for that. It's worth coming to fellowship every Sunday just to hear that. You know, those are the words from God for us. Those are very significant words, and how wonderful it is that God has those ready for us when we have manifestations of Holy Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, the body and soul man, God sending His own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, body, soul, and spirit. But He had the body and soul part, right? And for sin, condemned sin in the flesh. He condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in Him,
in us.
The righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us. Hey, we're righteous. You know? We're righteous. We're righteous. God loves us. You know, people say, well, God's on my side. They've got it wrong. We're on God's side. You know, we're on God's side. Who made it possible? Jesus Christ. You know, we're on God's side, and God's on our side. We're on the same side. You know, but how wonderful it is to have the righteousness of God for our daily living. We don't have to condemn ourselves. We don't have to live like we're under this cloud of whatever, you know, because the cloud has been lifted. You know, God has given us grace and mercy and love. We have the Spirit of God within us, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. And you can't walk after the Spirit if you ain't got no Spirit. So you first got to get born again. You know, you got to get born again. How do you do that? Confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus. Believe in your heart God raised him from the dead. Thou shalt be what? Saved. Thou shalt be saved. For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh. They think about the things of the flesh. How can I get ahead? How can I make more money? How can I overcome this person? How can I take advantage of that person? You know, all that kind of crap. Instead of just living the greatness that God has put in every one of our lives that we can live. According to what God has accomplished by way of Jesus Christ. For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded, to be fleshly minded, is death. You know, if that's the best the adversary can pay, I don't think I want to work for him. You know, but carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. You want peace? Here it is. Here it is. You want a fulfilling life? Here it is. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it's not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. It's just an animal, body and soul, like an animal. So that they that are in the flesh cannot please God. No matter how you try to decorate the flesh, you know, fancy earrings, nice hairdo, you know, all that stuff is wonderful. But you want to please God, you got to get born of God's Spirit and then do things that God recommends a spiritual person do. Huh, how about that? But ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Does the Spirit of God dwell in you?
Yes, sir.
Whew. Thank God. Now, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he's none of his. You know, there are people that have acted like they're Christians. And you can act like a Christian from here to eternity and not get born again. You don't have it. When you got it, you got it. You know, hey man, we got it. We got it. Christ in you, the hope of glory. Man, oh man. And if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. But if the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken, make alive your mortal bodies by the Spirit that dwelleth in you. You are more lively having Spirit in you than you are not having Spirit in you. You know, so that's another benefit of being born again. That Spirit, in it quickens, it makes our mortal bodies more alive. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors not to the flesh, thank God, to live after the flesh. For if we live after the flesh, ye shall die. But if ye through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, ye shall live. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God, the children of God. For ye have not received the spirit of bondage, again to fear. We, having spirit in us, we're not subject to fear. We don't have to live a fearful life. For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption, the spirit of sonship, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. And Abba in Aramaic is an endearing term. It's like daddy for us. Daddy. The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. How does that happen? Well, when you get born again of God's Spirit, you are given, you have the God-given ability to operate 9 manifestations. One of those manifestations is speaking in tongues. On the day of Pentecost, when they spoke in tongues, that was the proof that they were born again. Everybody, every Christian, all Christians, accept Pentecost as the birthday of the church. But why don't they all do what those Christians did on Pentecost? They spoke in tongues. Why don't they speak in tongues? Because the adversary knows there's great power in speaking in tongues, and he gets them to walk according to the flesh and not according to the Spirit regarding that great truth. So the Spirit itself beareth witness that we, the Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit. The Spirit God bears witness with our spirit, which you don't have any spirit if you're not born again, because you're only body and soul, correct?
All right.
That we are the children of God, and if children, then heirs of God. Heirs of God. You know, gee, I wish my daddy was the richest man in the world. I would be heir to that. That's nothing compared to the creator of the universe. We're an heir to the creator of the universe. You know, he figured all this stuff out, like with protons, neutrons, electrons. I mean, you know, this looks like a solid, but there are actually vast spaces in this. But we see it as a solid. Well, there are vast spaces in us. Oh, my gosh. You know, wait. Yeah. But God is the chair you're sitting in. There are vast spaces. You know, if you took, I've heard it said, if you took all of the empty space between the electrons, protons, and neutrons out of the Empire State Building, and put it all together, it would sit on the head of a pen. Yeah, yeah. It's all, and that space is God made it so it's moving. There's all this moving going on. You know, the protons, electrons, neutrons going around the atoms. You know, the electrons go around the protons and the neutrons. You know, the electricity we enjoy, you know what that is? It's a flow of electrons. It's taking some extra electrons and putting them through a wire and making the lights come on. And God knew he could do that, and we could do that, so he did it. God is so absolutely awesome. He's our Father, and he's not just our Father. He is Daddy. He's our Abba Father. God is so good to us. And if children, then heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with him, that we may be also glorified together. Oh, gosh, I'm running out of time. Do you mind if I just go to verse 26? All right. Likewise, read that part. Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmity. The Spirit helps our what? Infirmity. It's a singular, it's not plural, it's infirmity. For we know not what we should pray for as we ought. pray for Israel. Pray for Israel, people say. Well, we know what we should pray for Israel, but on a moment by moment time, what should we pray for? There are people that are, Chris Curtis told me that there's a dam that broke in the Tennessee Valley Authority. That's part of the, that whole thing where they made all the electricity generated to help them. So a part of a dam broke and it just washed out a whole city, whole village that was downstream. And there's a possibility that that was only part of the dam. The whole dam could break and it's like, what'd you say, 100 feet tall or something? Yeah. So think of all the water that would come rushing down. So what should we pray for? Well, we don't know what to pray for exactly. And we could pray for it not to break. Or we could pray for those that are in a path to get out of the way. You know, probably both would be smart. But we don't know what we should pray for. Maybe we pray and God works in some individual that goes in there and does something that saves all those people. But we don't know that. So what do? We speak in tongues. Speaking in tongues is perfect prayer to God. This is very practical, very practical. We don't know what to pray for. So we think about the situation. We say, God, I want to pray for this. Please give me speaking in tongues so I can. So then you speak in tongues. Do you know what you're saying?
No.
The Spirit of God in Christ in you gives you the utterance. And the great thing about it is you don't even have to speak out loud. You can do it in your own mind, and God can hear that speaking in tongues. That speaking in tongues may be just the right message or whatever that God needs to hear and what is required so that God can deliver people somewhere. You may not even know where someone needs prayer. You know, I have prayer lists, and I pray for people and I pray for situations and I pray for governments and other things. But yet, when we speak in tongues, we don't know how God is able to use that for the benefit of his people. Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmity, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought. But the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. We can't speak. We don't know what words to speak, but the Spirit gives our spirit the words to speak so that God can bring deliverance. And he that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit. God searcheth the heart. God searches our hearts, and he knows what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. Wow. When we speak it, we don't realize. I mean, I know. I've got to be reminded all the time of the value and importance of speaking in tongues. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to his purpose. For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. He knew in advance we would believe, and so he reserved a place for us. You know, I made a call to the restaurant, 6 o'clock, we'd like to come eat. Now I got to tell them 5:30. But reservation for 8. Well, God made reservations for us because he knew we would believe. God marked out a spot for you because he knew you would believe. What a wonderful father. Okay. We know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate. He determined beforehand and he marked out a place for us to be conformed to the image of his son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called, and whom he called, them he justified, and whom he justified, them he what? Glorified. Are you justified? Yes, you are. Yes, you are. Don't forget that. You're justified. You're also glorified. What does that mean? When Christ comes back, we're going to be gathered together with him. We're going to have a body fashioned like unto his glorious body. What shall we then say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? And, you know, since this is football season, I think of this as a cheer. You know, if God be for us, who can be against us? Who can be against us? Who can be against us? If God be for us, who can be against us? No one, no one, no one. Now, we know the adversary is against us, but he is of little note compared to the creator of the universe, who actually created the adversary, who turned on God and became, you know, an enemy of God, and an evil person, an evil entity. Moreover, whom he did predestinate, him he also called, and whom he called, them he also justified, and whom he justified, them he also glorified. What shall we then say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? He, God, that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him freely give us all things? What is God going to hold back if he didn't hold back his son from us? Jesus Christ paid the price, a big price. He suffered on the cross. He paid for all of our sins, for all of our shortcomings, for all of our natural man problems. Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? And it should read, shall God that justified? God justified us. Now is he going to start laying charges against us? No. Who is he that condemneth? Who condemns? Shall Christ that died? Yea, rather, that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. Is he going to be up there making intercession for us and condemning us at the same time? No. No. Who shall separate us? And you could say, who or what shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation? We have some of that. Distress? Well, we get some of that. Persecution? Do we get that? Sure we do. Or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? Can that separate us from the love of Christ? Can that separate us from what God accomplished by way of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ? Does that make us unrighteous suddenly? No, 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 1,000 times no. Wow. As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are counted as sheep for the slaughter. No. No. That's the next word in the text. Nay. Nay. No. We're not counted as sheep for the slaughter. Or any of that other crap. In all these things, we are more than conquerors through him that what? Loved us. We're more than conquerors through him that loved us. And we're super conquerors. And the him that loved us, I don't know if it means God or Jesus Christ or, you know, I think as we go through this, we see it down in verse 39, it says, the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. I believe that is through him, the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord that loved us. But God so loved that he gave. Jesus Christ so loved that he gave. For I am persuaded beyond any shadow of a doubt that neither death, and death is the most terminating factor in life. Death, then it's over. It's all over. Nor what? Life. Nor angels, nor principalities, you know, devil spirits in the high places, and nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing, the word creature is created thing, shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Man, oh man, what love that is. God loves you. Don't beat yourself up if you make a mistake. Just get back and go back at it. You know, it's just like when you fall off a horse. What do? Get back on the horse. You know, and so, sure, you got challenges in life. Okay, so what? Everybody's got challenges in life. But you're more than a conqueror through Jesus Christ our Lord. You know, I think coming up next month is Reformation Sunday, you know. Boy, oh boy, this is reforming for mankind. You know, a body and soul man subject to the situation after the fall of Adam suddenly can become a body, soul, and spirit man or woman. More than a conqueror over all these things that come up in life. What a privilege it is to be a son of God, a child of God. Heavenly Father, again, we're so thankful for your grace, your goodness, and love. We thank you, Father, for all that you accomplished by way of your Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ. And thank you again for the peace in our hearts and the comfort of our hearts, because we know you are our Abba Father, that we can turn to. We know that you've overcome all these things, and we have the glorification of the return to look forward to. And we thank you in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.